The National Park Service is developing a bison management plan, and here's why. In the late 1990s, bison began moving in bigger numbers to the Grand Canyon National Park and staying there. Now the agency is studying the bison's long-term impact on the area's resources. Diane Chalfant is deputy superintendent of Grand Canyon National Park. She says not many tourists know where these bisons are hanging out.
A lot of Americans have been to the Grand Canyon, and they're familiar with the South Rim where the developed facilities are, like the El Tovar Hotel and some of the beautiful overlooks. But the bison are on the North Rim of the park in an area of like mixed forests and meadows bordering the Kaibab National Forest and not too far from the state of Utah. And the area that they reside in is known as the Kaibab Plateau.
So is this one of the less touristed areas of the park?
Yeah, a much smaller percent of visitors get up to the North Rim. It's a very beautiful part of the park. But those who get up there, it's not common for them to actually see these bison. They're fairly secretive, and they're just not as commonly seen as bison in places like Yellowstone National Park or the Black Hills. And what they do is they tend to stay in groups. They graze, but then they also tend to congregate around water sources in the park. You know, outside of the park, on the national forest lands, they're a hunted population, and they've learned over the years that if they stay within the national park boundaries, they won't be hunted. So they're tending to stay within our boundaries, which is causing us problems.
Yeah, what problems are they causing?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about Grand Canyon is that it protects some really amazing, unique, and world-class features, including some habitat for threatened and endangered species like the Mexican spotted owl and the willow flycatcher and other species, plants that only grow in and around springs and seeps. We also have amazing archaeological sites, thousands of them in the park. So because of these bison's current abundance, there are about 350 of them now, and the way they move or don't move much within the park boundaries, they're just causing some really clear and accelerating impacts on these places. So they're trampling water sources. Bison create wallows. They lay down and roll in the dirt and cause big areas that are denuded from vegetation. And so when they do that, they disturb the soil, and then they open up opportunities for invasive plant species to become established. Where they graze, they're grazing very low, the grass, and they're compacting the soil. They even have walked into some of our archaeological sites and created paths and droppings and so forth in these sites that are hundreds and thousands of years old.
So what has the Park Service been able to do so far?
Well, you know, we really are not actively managing them. We are monitoring them. We look at their impacts on the meadows. In fact, one of the things that we do is we build these structures called exclosures. Think of a fenced-out area. So we fence out sections of the vegetation so that we can study the difference between vegetation that's not impacted by bison and that is. And we can compare the two, the outside where the bison can graze to the inside where they can't get to. What we see is a huge difference in the height of the grasses and other vegetation. Where they graze, it's down to the nub, and inside it's quite tall.
I want to ask you if you see similarities between what's happening with the bison there and what the Park Service has had to do here in D.C. with Rock Creek National Park and the deer that have come. And they say that that's an invasive species. In fact, there have been some deer hunting sessions to control the population. Are there similarities?
Well, you know, I think that as we, you know, part of this bison management plan that we're about to launch will help us, you know, think about how do you manage bison. But I think the idea of a population that has outgrown the available forage or range, there is a parallel there. So I think that some of the types of issues that we'll be dealing with in our planning are similar to the types of issues that many places in the eastern U.S. have had to deal with regarding white-tailed deer.
We're speaking with Diane Chalfant. She is the deputy superintendent of the Grand Canyon National Park. So let's talk about what you hope to do. You've called some public hearings for later this month. What do you want to gain from those hearings, and then where do you go from there?
Well, what we're doing is we're beginning the process of developing a bison management plan and an environmental impact statement. And we're doing this in cooperation with the state of Arizona's Game and Fish Department, the U.S. Forest Service, and the Bureau of Land Management. And basically, the purpose is to develop a long-term coordinated approach with those agencies to manage the current impacts of the bison and also future impacts of the bison on Grand Canyon National Park's natural and cultural resources. You know, the other thing that we want to do in accomplishing this is support Arizona Game and Fish goals for management of a free-ranging bison population on the Kaibab National Forest where they are hunted. So today we start the public scoping process for the environmental impact statement.
And what exactly is that?
Well, the scoping is really the first step in involving the public in the planning process, and it basically provides opportunities for the public to identify concerns and do that early in our process so that we can focus on analyzing important issues. And, you know, this is a complex issue. There are ecological concerns, there are cultural concerns, and there are social issues. Bison are an iconic species. You know, they are the species that is on the Department of Interior emblem. They're on the National Park Service emblem as well. They're important to Native American tribes. They're a species that was brought back from the brink of extinction. So they're an important species to this country, and we expect a lot of public feedback. So what we're going to do is we're opening up the comment period online, and also we're doing three public meetings toward the end of April to identify these issues of concern. The meetings will be in Kanab, Utah, April 28th, Flagstaff, Arizona, April 29th, and Phoenix, Arizona, April 30th, and then we'll have an opportunity for the public to also participate in some webinars to learn more about the issue and to provide comment to us.
And then where do you expect to go from there? Because as you said, and as you've said in your written announcements about this, you expect this to be a very long and rather complicated planning process.
Yeah, we expect it to last in total more than 2 years. You know, we want to give the public enough time to participate with us and to help us really identify the significant issues. So we'll be doing public scoping April and May. June of 2014, we're going to begin the process of really looking at those comments that we collected and gathering data. In the rest of 2014 and through 15, we're going to be developing alternatives to managing the bison. We're going to be analyzing impacts and writing the draft plan. In the summer of 2015, there will be another 60-day period for public comment, and then we'll be preparing the final environmental impact statement in 2015 and 2016. So by the fall of 2016, we hope to issue this interagency bison management plan.
And between now and then, are there other things that the Park Service or your partners in this can do to somehow control the damage that the bison have wrought?
Well, you know, I mean, part of this is just Arizona Game and Fish will continue to manage a hunting opportunity for the public outside of the national park boundaries on Kaibab National Forest. We're going to be gathering data and really trying to understand what tools we have to manage these bison. So we're going to be, you know, what we're going to be considering during this whole process are, you know, the possibility of capture and relocating the bison, baiting them, hazing them, which is a process of just essentially driving them outside of the park boundaries. But we really have to consider all of this as we develop the alternatives for our long-term plan. In the meantime, they continue to reproduce and their impacts continue to grow.
In a way, it's almost like there's too much success. You said that they were once an endangered species. Now they can't stop having babies.
Yeah. And this particular, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, bison, you know, of course, were at one time across much of the United States. Here in the Southwest, including Arizona, New Mexico, and into Mexico, this is considered really the edge of their original bison range. And so some of the archaeological evidence that we have shows that they were here a long time ago, and then there were some historical records that indicate that there were some herds in the mid-1500s. But we really don't have any evidence of bison here in the last 450 years. So this particular herd of bison were actually brought to Arizona in 1906 as part of a breeding program between bison and cattle to develop a small herd of crossbred animals that would reside in a place called House Rock Valley, Kaibab National Forest. And that's how it was for many years. There were about 90 to 100 animals. And then in the 1990s, these animals started moving away from that area for a combination of reasons. You know, we have some extreme, as you know, weather and climate here in the West, drought and fire, reducing their forage quality and so forth. So these animals began to do what bison particularly do. They are pioneers, and they explore new areas, and they eventually moved out of this house rock wildlife area through the national forest and onto the park. They really didn't show up in the park till, you know, much later. And initially, they just returned back to this area of house rock to have their calves in spring about this time of the year. But again, the past several years, they just haven't left. They stayed within the park boundaries.
And just a real quick question. Yeah. Is bison popular on the menus around there?
You know, you do see it on the menus. Yeah, I mean, I think bison is becoming more popular on menus across the West, and it is a very good and healthy meat.